And so today we're going to talk about the bread of life. And we see from the book of John, we see Jesus is, he's going around Capernaum, and he's he left Jerusalem. He was there for a little bit there in chapter 2 and 3, and he gets there, and it's so intense there because they keep asking him questions. He's not ready to answer them, like, who are you? What are you doing here? So he's like, well, you know what? I don't want to really answer these things right now. I'm going to go back home up to the north side, up there by the Sea of Galilee, in my home of Nazareth and Bethsaida and Capernaum and Gennesaret and all those places. I'm going to hang out there for a little while where things are kind of easier to talk to people. I'm not ready. I'm just starting my ministry. I'm not ready to go out there and tell everyone who I am. And so we don't really see too many miracles from him. We see him at a wedding, a private wedding, where he turns the water into wine, and we see a few other things, but we don't see a big look at me now, here I am. Until we get to, because we see him talk to a woman, a Samaritan woman at the well, and he tells her all about her life, and then he moves on here to chapter 6, where here's what he does in John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And it was a Jeopardy question. Did I tell you about that one? The word was geographical G's, and it said, this is a lake in Israel where Jesus preached by. And I said, Gennesaret. Was I right? It's Galilee, right? But it was called Gennesaret. It's also called Tiberias. Oh, I bet they would have, thank goodness I'm not on Jeopardy, because I'd have gone over that, gone after Ken in a second if he would have ruled against me. I'm much bigger than Ken. So anyway, it's the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Gennesaret, the Sea of Tiberias. It was named after a Roman emperor at that then. And so a great crowd of people was following him because they see the signs that he's performing and when he healed the sick. So he goes up to a mountainside and he sits down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover was near. When Jesus looked up and he saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip looks at the crowd. There's 5,000 men, just men. They didn't count women. So there's some women there too and kids. There's many. There could be 10, 12,000 people there. You've heard this story before. It's in Luke and it's in Matthew. It's also in Mark chapter 6. So Philip answered, it's going to take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one just to have a little bite. There's too many people. Another one of his disciples, Andrew, which is Simon Peter's brother, he spoke up and said, well, there's a little boy here with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among many? You know the story, right? They feed everyone has enough to eat. Jesus says, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. There was about 5,000 men. Then Jesus took the loaves, and he gave thanks. And he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same thing with the fish. And when they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, and let nothing be wasted. They gathered them, and they filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten them. My mom told me this isn't a miracle. This is an act of cooperation. And I see William Barclay, my famous Scottish preacher from Edinburgh, says the same thing. This isn't a miracle. This is just people coming together and sharing their food. That's the miracle in it all. That's the goodwill. And I say no, because it says what it says. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, fed 12,000 people, right? That's what happened. That's what happened. I love my mom, but she was wrong. I love William Barclay, but Bill, you're wrong too. And the people saw this, and they saw this as a sign and that Jesus performed, and they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come in the world. That there in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, that's what it says. One day, Moses says, the Lord will lift up someone like me, and you must listen to him. And here he is. They've been waiting for this Messiah. They've been waiting how many? 2,000 years, and they're under Roman oppression. They want someone to save them, to give them hope. And here comes a man who heals, and he feeds, and he raises dead, and Jesus knows this. He says, knowing they intended to come and make him king by force. So what's he do? He knows they're going to draw him out. Say, come on, be our king. Lead us. Lead us against the Romans. Fight for us. And Jesus says, no, I'm having none of that. So he withdraws from them and he goes to the mountain. In the middle there, we see where it turns nighttime and the disciples are, they're on one side of the lake, and so they get in their boat and they're going to go back to the other side of the lake, and they don't know where Jesus is, and they're 3 miles away from shore because that Lake Genesaret, Lake Tiberias, is really, really big, and it's there between the two mountains, so when the atmosphere comes in, it gives it terrible storms on there. So in the midst of the storm, they're upset and they're on their boat and they think they're going to die, and Jesus comes walking on the water. We've heard that story, right? And he saves them. He tells the storm to be still, and the storm listens and they believe. So now they get to the other side of the lake, but everybody just had their bellies filled the day before and they want more, don't they? So what are they going to do? They're going to go looking for him. Hey, where's the guy that gave us all that free food? He's on the other side of the lake. Let's go over there. So they get to, they all go, all 12,000, 10,000, run to the other side of the lake. When they find him on the other side of the lake, they ask him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Very truly, Jesus says, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs that I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. You want me because you got something out of me. You got your bellies filled, and now you want more. Do you want the signs I performed, the healing, those kinds of things? No, you're satiated, but now you're hungry again. You're going to be hungry tomorrow. You're going to chase me every day looking for food. Jesus says, do not look for work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, he says, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus says this, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they ask him, what sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Can you prove it? Show us something else. You've walked on water. You fed 5,000 with just a little bit. We want to see something else. What's next? Show me something else. I've got one claim to fame with my incredible strength I had as a teenager. I could throw a hay bale over a wagon for a time. I was kind of helpful. Farmers loved me, right? He'll work all day for nothing back then. They didn't even pay us back then. You know that? You guys remember that? Farmer needs help. Get over here. Pete Pearson comes over and, you know, he needs help stacking hay. You're not getting paid. You just do it. And so I could throw it over. And the man, the farmer working with us says, you can't do that. My brother Scott says he can do it. So I prove it. So I threw it over the wagon. He goes, do it again. So I did it again. That's all you get. What are you going to do? Can you prove it? And they say they remember the story about the book of Numbers. You know, they remember that our ancestors ate man in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. We know that when the people left after 400 years of slavery, Moses led them out of captivity. And they all crossed the Red Sea with God's power and he parted it. And they were in the desert and they were there for 40 years because they didn't believe that they could take over the promised land. But God took care of them and they were hungry. They wanted water. And so when they were thirsty, he cracked the rock and water came out for everyone. And when he wanted food, it just came from heaven every day enough to eat. And birds and came down from heaven. So they had meat and bread to eat every day from heaven. They had all they needed. But Jesus says, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is a bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said, Lord, give us this bread. This echoes John chapter 4, doesn't it, perfectly, when Jesus goes up to Samaria to see, and that woman is by the well, and she's there in the middle of the day. She's coming because she's thirsty, but she can't come when everyone else is there because she's embarrassed. So she comes, she sits next to Jesus, and Jesus asked her for a drink. She says, you don't know who you're talking to. He goes, I do know who I'm talking to. He tells her to go get her husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, I know. You've had five. And the one you're with now is not your husband. He doesn't condemn her. He just knows who she is. She says, you must be a prophet. He says, I got something better for you. You see, you're looking for what you want in men, and you're looking for these things of the world. What you really need is water from the eternal springs of heaven. You need that kind of water. She says, I want that. That's what I want. Here's Jesus. He brings this story up again where you're all hungry. You want something. You want the things of this world. You want food. You want the meats. You want the good things. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and yet you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, he says. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. What happened to them? They died. But here's something different. Here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat, and you won't die. I'm the living bread that has come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This is where we get into the crazy talk, don't we? Then the Jews began to argue among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're not cannibals. They don't understand, do they? When Jesus talks to Nicodemus there in chapter 3, right? He says, you've got to be born again, right, Nicodemus? I don't understand. How can I be born again? I can't go through that process. It's too late. Yes, you can be born. It's a different kind of being born again. Woman at the well, you're going to get water that you'll never have to go get from the well again, that you'll have enough to drink and you'll be refreshed forever. This bread, this is that comes down from heaven. This is what you want. It's my flesh. But that's not really that too odd for them. They would have understood that. Where's my class? Rita? Remember we talked about food sacrificed to idols? There in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 or 7, we're not sure. It's in there somewhere, right? People would bring the animals to the altar. That's what they did in those days. You bring the animal to the altar. And what would happen there? You would, of course, slice its throat. And then the priest would take the good parts, right? The cheeks. The left cheek, not the right cheek. The ham and something else. And we saw that Eli, the sons of Eli, were taking the good parts, remember? And they were saying, you don't take the good parts. You just take the parts I tell you to take. So they would have understood this. You bring the sacrifice. And when you ate the sacrifice, it was like taking that God into you. You see? It would fulfill you. You would be filled with this God that you were worshiping, whichever one it would be. So the Jews would bring this animal, to the altar to be slaughtered. And they understood that. And the blood, you can't drink the blood, right? The Jews don't believe in drinking the blood because it is life. And you can't drink an animal that's been strangled. Blood is life, right? And it belongs to God. And that's what we see on the Day of Atonement. All right, I'm drifting way into the weeds again. Sorry. Let's get back to it. Jesus is talking to this big group. He's saying, listen, I'm the bread of life. Remember that trick I did yesterday? Not a trick, that miracle? All this food we have, and that's what you really want, but I'm what you really want. Don't you see? And then he gets into the whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise them up in the last day. He says, for my flesh is a real food and my blood is a real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and they died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in a synagogue in Capernaum. this didn't go over well, did it? They don't understand it. They fall away. They walk away. They leave him. He turns around. Jesus turns around, and who's left? Just the 12. The 12 are there. On hearing it, many of his disciples said this, like you were probably thinking, this is hard to understand, isn't it? This is hard teaching, and who can accept it? Jesus is aware of that. His disciples were grumbling about this, and he said to them, does this offend you? Is this bugging you? It bugs us, doesn't it, a little bit? Drinking blood, and it doesn't make sense. The bread part we understand, right? Bread, we like bread. Does this offend you? But then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, he says. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who don't believe. Jesus knew that from the beginning that some of them would not believe him and would betray him. He asked them this question, do you want to leave? Have you all had enough of me? Do you want to leave? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Boy, that's a good one to hear, isn't it? He's down to 12. He had 5,000 with him, right? They all leave. It's not what we wanted. It's not too many rules, right? We don't want his rule. We want to do what we want to do. We like the parlor tricks. Make me more food. And when you stop pleasing me, stop tickling my fancy. When you want me to call him the king, forget it. I want out of that. I don't want to call him the king. We need to dumb it down a little bit. We don't need that, do we? We need to hear the truth. What is in our way? Our relationship with God is broken because of the sin in our lives. We don't like to say the word sin in church anymore. I say it every week. I don't like it. It's the truth. He offers Nicodemus, the Pharisee, to be born again so that he can know the Father. He offers the woman water from the well that springs eternal from heaven, that you drink this, you'll never be thirsty again. You take the bread that comes from heaven and you'll never be hungry again. All that you have will be satisfied. That's what we're looking for. As my class knows, I've got a situation on how to convert. So I got to convert somebody real quick before they get married. You know what I mean? They're getting married next spring, and I got to convert them. So we talked about that. What are we? And you all looked at, no one had an answer, did you? We were like, good luck with that. What am I going to say? What are we going to do, right, Joey? It's, and we just start with the truth. We start with little bits, baby steps, and where do we get our morals from? How do you know what's right, and how do you know what's wrong? What's the absolute truth in this world? We want something. We want the things of this world. I'm the worst there is. I spend money crazy. I told my wife I bought something the other day, and I misled her about the price. Anyone do that? Don, you ever do that? Huh?
Never.
Does he, Leah? I was off by $1,000. But I really wanted it. So, if you really want it, you can have it. But why'd you mislead me? I don't know. 30 years of marriage, I'm still married. I still can't ask for something I want, Fran, you know? Fran, you get whatever you want, don't you? We're at that age? Yeah. But we want these things. But it's not what we really need. We need him. We need Jesus in our lives. I've got friends that need to hear about him, and I'm not afraid to tell them. I just don't know if I have the right words. I got to find those words. And you know what? The Holy Spirit says, I'll be there, and I will put those words in your mouth when you are questioned. We have to know that. We have to be unafraid to talk to our friends who don't want to accept Jesus, and they don't know what they're missing yet. Jesus says, I come from the Father. I'm all you need. I will get you to him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your Son. To me, it's I read Scripture. Everything is based on Scripture, and with you've given me reason to understand it and to believe it, and the experience that I've experienced you in my lives. And we have this tradition of what we do in church each and every week. And we come together and we know that you are God, that the bread that comes from heaven, that your blood will save us. It's hard to accept this. It seems so strange in this day and age. It seems strange to them because we want the things of this world. And this world has such a control over us. And we know we live in this world. We have to be practical and pragmatic about things, but we need to know that you are God, that you are good. Accepting the Son gets us into your presence, that we will be with you on that day. When you call us home, we will be with you because of what Jesus did, taking our sins, taking them on his back, being the sacrifice, his blood spilled for us. We go in peace this week. Go and enjoy this week with family. Eat from the table. Eat too much and enjoy yourselves, knowing that you've been blessed over and over and over by our Father in heaven. Go in peace and go in love. Amen. Amen.